top of the slide. Put a stop and a turn and a go for a ride. Till I get to the bottom and I see you again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you, don't you want me to love you? I'm coming down fast, but I'm miles above you.
I think the song's ending, but it still has a minute left. Does it just not do anything?
I don't think so. I just kill it.
Thank you. Oh, it's coming back. I'm killing it. There we go. Okay, CITR 101.9 FM. This is the Inkstead Show, the radio show where we talk about what, Ed?
Comics.
This is going to be a bit of a messy show, but I think we'll make it work. I have four guests this week. Not one. Not two, not three, but four. And yes, folks, I can count. It's about 2:06, CITR 101.9 FM out of UBC in Vancouver. It is club days here at UBC, and it's insane. It was very hard to actually make it up to the station, wading through the crowds and crowds of college clubs. Yeah, people were hitting us with clubs. I think Ed got a little bruised. So Ed is in the studio with me. And over the phone, I have three swell cartoonists. Phil McAndrew, who, where are you right now? New York, Phil?
Syracuse, New York.
Syracuse, New York. And I got Lucy Neasley?
It's Neasley, yeah.
Neasley. I'm sorry, I'm a douchebag. I get
it's
names
okay.
wrong.
At least you got the silent K.
Us Canadians, we're good at that. We connote that kind of thing. No one groaned. No. And all the way from West Van, North
I'm
Van?
I'm Chicago.
Oh, you're from Chicago. I was just going to say the other guy or the other person, Jason Turner.
Hello. From North Vancouver.
North Vancouver, from one of our lovely suburbs. And in the studio with me, Ed Brisson.
Hello.
Hello. So all four of these folks are involved in something called You Ain't No Dancer Book 3, out next week.
It's out stores the first week of October, but we'll have our launch next Friday, so a week tomorrow, at Lucky's Comics. So we're going to have the big launch. And then the kind of official other debut is at SBX a week later.
Which is October...
October 3rd and 4th, I believe.
So any people that are listening to this after the fact, go down to SPX, because I won't be there.
SPX 4th and 5th, sorry.
4th and 5th, that sounds right. So maybe we'll start out with Ed. This will be weird, because it's kind of hard when we have like three people on the show that we can't see. So I really want you guys to feel comfortable to jump in at any point if you want to say something. Please do, because I don't want you to feel like you can't read our body language, so you're not going to say anything. Jump in anytime. I know people are sometimes kind of timid about doing it, but please do jump in and say anything you want about anything within certain ethical parameters, maybe. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Jason. And so tell us about You Ain't No Dancer, Ed.
You Ain't No Dancer is it's an anthology. This one is the third volume, obviously, hence book three. It's the first book I ever published through New Reliable was actually the first You Ain't No Dancer back in 2005. I initially had wanted to do it as an annual anthology. Actually, initially I wanted to do it as an anthology that came out quarterly until I started doing the first one and realized that that was not going to be possible. So it was annual. I skipped last year just because I had so much stuff going on last year other than comics that I just couldn't keep on top.
Like breeding?
No, Tegan was born before. Tegan was actually born when the second book actually came out. The first book actually hit stores, I believe.
Really?
No. When True Love's hit stores, that's right. When True Love's hit stores. I found out Janet was pregnant with Tegan when You Ain't No Dancer 1 hit stores, and then she was born when True Love's came out.
Magical.
I know. So I actually wasn't publishing any more books because I was worried that we'd have more babies coming out with each book. So it's just an anthology. The first two were 96 pages. They were like a smaller, slightly larger than postcard format size. This one's much larger. It's 8x8 inch square, perfect bound, 176 pages, and it's awesome.
Is that about the size of the Typhoon anthology?
I've never seen the Typhoon anthology, I don't think.
That's fine.
Okay, so maybe. It's maybe the same size, dependent on what size the Typhoon anthology is.
I'll find out.
All right, thank you. But it's 8x8, so, you know, roughly, you know, width and height as the a width of a piece of typing paper.
That's a big book.
It is big. Actually, I was kind of surprised when I got the proof back because, you know, I knew the size and I'd already done my own mock-ups. When I actually got the proof and got to see it, it's pretty big, but it's pretty good and it looks awesome. So,
Mazel tov. So, Ed, you don't actually have any stories in it, but
no.
Everyone else does. So I guess we'll talk to each of you and maybe tell us a little bit about who you are and your stories. I think I'm going to start out with Phil McAndrew. Okay. Let's start out with you. Tell us about your story that's going to be in You Ain't No Dancer, book three.
Well, it's 8 pages long, and it's pretty wacky, I think. probably sounds kind of dumb talking about it, but it's about two friends who are trying to retrieve a very rare stamp for a stamp collection.
Now,
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to say about it, really.
Well, I'll ask a couple of questions about your style and stuff. It's very, UK influenced, is one way of putting it.
Yeah, I've heard that before. And I am really into a lot of European comics right now, but that's I hadn't seen any until I was in college, like, you know, a couple of years ago. But yeah, I hear a lot that it's very like European UK style sort of.
I was thinking like the Searle and Steadman style influence and stuff.
Yeah.
So, were you ever a collector of sorts?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I did collect a lot of things. You know, I had like a coin collection and hockey cards, comic books. You know, and I was pretty. I loved to just like organize them. You know, but yeah, I mean, I wanted to do something with like collecting, and the characters in the book are actually like adults, but they act like children.
I thought two of them were children.
Yeah, I mean, they're supposed to be like in their 20s, but they act like little kids. Pretty much.
You kids dress too young nowadays. Now I'm just suddenly feeling old. Now is this, have you done, you've been doing comics for a while. You do mostly illustration work though. Was this one of your longer stories?
I mostly do illustration stuff, but I have been drawing comics, you know, doing mini comics and stuff for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years now.
Now say someone wanted to check out your work, where would be the best place to go?
Probably on my website, which is fillintheblanks.com. Phil spelled like my name, Phil.
Now, Lucy.
Yes?
We got you there. You're going to have to... Unfortunately, I'm going to get you to speak up a little because everyone's on the same channel, so I can't separate people.
Sure, no problem.
Now, tell us about your story.
My story is about some kids bridge jumping. This is something I did a lot when I was a kid. So I write from experience, I guess. And one of the children in the story is hearing impaired, so there's an element of communication that occurs through sign language within the comic, which was sort of a challenge I posed to myself to try and draw the hand gestures and the communication between the children through actual sign language, so I had to pick up some phrases. Yeah. That's the story. I mean, it's about basically there are two characters that are brothers, and one of them is hearing impaired and one isn't, and you sort of see the roles reverse in that the one that's hearing impaired actually sort of steps up and takes responsibility and sort of comes into his own through it, with, you know, within a really small sphere of the short story, but yeah, it's sort of a statement about brothers and various impediments that we deal with in our lives.
It seems there's a certain whimsy to the story.
Oh, sure, definitely.
Did you enjoy...
It's based on an experience that I actually had with a couple friends of mine where we were actually jumping off a cliff into water, and a friend of mine jumped off and didn't close his legs all the way and met with a unfortunate water to bathing suit accident, and couldn't swim back to shore, so my other friend had to jump in and drag him out, and I was pretty young and a girl, and I didn't understand what had occurred. It doesn't really matter if I don't close my legs when I jump into the water, but they were instantly aware of the problem.
Didn't you ever watch the terrible teen movies of guys getting hit in the nads, or, you know, don't hit me in the nards, or any of that?
I was young enough that I hadn't actually made that connection.
It used to be called a cherry tree where I grew up when that happened. I don't know if that's a global term or not, but I remember if you fell on the playground and that happened, which it happened quite a bit for some
cherry
reason.
Cherry tree.
To you,
cherry tree.
That's what it was called, and it did happen to me once, yes, and it was very painful.
Jason, Phil, did you guys get cherry treed?
I hadn't heard that term.
That is the first time I've heard it also.
Must be just an Oshawa, Ontario thing, I guess.
There's a lot of things that are limited to Oshawa, Ontario, thankfully, Ed. So tell us about your story, Mr. Jason Turner Overdrive. And actually, sorry, you know what? Before we jump into that, Lucy... Where can people find out your work if they want to check it out?
My website is called Stop Paying Attention. It's just stoppayingattention.com.
There we go. Now, Mr. Jason, tell us about your gallery foray.
my gallery foray. For some reason, I like doing comics about sculpture. I've done a few sort of one-page things about sort of fictitious guerrilla sculpture expeditions. And somehow this one related to that. I'm not sure why. It seems kind of stupid to me, actually, in a way, doing comics about sculpture, but it appeals to me at the same time.
And you actually did a sculpture in a comic art show recently-ish.
It's true. You're right. I did a wooden two-panel comic called Murder. I actually just retrieved that the other day. Finally. 8 months later.
Did you have to hunt it down and fight for it?
Yeah. There was bare-knuckle action there.
Well, we always like to see a little fighting among the cartoonists, or not... Among the cartoonists, but by the cartoonists.
Yeah, as long as we're victorious.
That's what I like to hear. Now, I'm going to do a quick song break. I think I'm going to play one of your songs, Lucy. And then when we get back, I'm going to start throwing out topical questions. And for you folks to kind of come up with some answers, and we'll kind of create some dialogue back and forth. So, inkstuds.com, I'm going to play... From Roots to Leaves. And we'll be right back. CITR 101.9 FM. This is the Inkstud Show, the radio show where we talk about comics. Joined this week by a whole gang of people. If I say anything wrong, they're all going to kick my ass over the phone. So I've got Ed Brisson sitting across from me, drawing something. And I've got Jason Turner on the phone. Hello, Jason. Have I still got Jason? I don't think I've got Jason anymore. No, that's... Have I got you there, Phil?
Yeah, you got me.
I got you, Phil. Have I got you, Lucy?
Yep, I'm still here.
I lost Jason.
Oh, no.
Hey, Ed, do you want to just dial Jason on this phone?
I have no idea his number. He's at work right now, so that's where he's calling from. So hopefully he'll call back.
Okay, well, I'll just get drunk and pretend to be Jason, get in a fight with Ed. Not that Jason drinks at all.
Jason and I have never been in a fight, but he does. He is probably drunk right now, and that could
that
be
what, could explain
that could be
it.
What happened. It is past noon.
But it's always past noon somewhere, Ed. Yes. Well, that's fine. Maybe we're better without Jason. So, Ed, tell us about next Friday. Originally, Ed was going to come on. You guys were all going to come on next week, but I was a douche and had to bump it by a week to promote Word Under the Street, which is next weekend. But yes. On Friday night, next Friday, the
26th
at Lucky's Comics, my favorite comic store in Vancouver. Please give me a discount. You're having...
Next Friday, the 26th at Lucky's, it's the You Ain't No Dancer launch party and art show. So we're going to have the launch party for the book. We'll have some of the creators who live locally will be there. And we'll have an art show featuring a bunch of the pages from the book, the original pages from the book that will all be available for sale as well. And that's it. So, yeah, we're starting that next Friday. And then the art show will actually stay up, I believe, for about I think it's 4 to 6 weeks. I'd have to find out from Lucky's exactly when the end
wow.
of that is.
Yeah, normally so, the show's there a couple of weeks. So
yeah, something like that.
4 to 6 weeks. And you guys are going to have pages for sale there, right?
Yeah, I will.
You
I
will? Think. Will you, Lucy?
No, not me. I can't find my pages. They're somewhere in my pile of work.
No.
That's so... disappointing.
I know, it's really sad. Well, I just moved, so everything is sort of all over the place.
Now, you used to be in White Rivers Junction.
That's right. I'm still a student at the Center for Cartoon Studies. I'm just doing my second year remotely.
By correspondence?
Yeah, pretty much. it's a lot more, you know, technical than that, I guess. You know, I do a lot of stuff over the internet, and I'm going down to visit a couple times, so yeah, it's basically correspondence. But second years basically work on their theses all year, thesi.
What is the thesi or a thesis for this CSS?
The Center for Cartoon Studies?
CCS. I feel horrible.
It's basically a graphic novel, something in the comics arena that you make. It takes you, you know, a year or more, usually, and you have a thesis advisor who works with you, who's a cartoonist in, you know, working professionally that, you know, we have to appeal to help us, basically. My thesis advisor is Linda Berry.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I'm really happy.
And how's that coming along?
Slowly but surely right now.
Tell me about the music that we played.
Well, I've been writing and playing music for a while. I don't perform or anything. It's just me and my little recording, you know, set up in my room. But it's really fun, and it's an opportunity to make some art that isn't comics all the time. I really enjoy it. So that's one of the songs I wrote a couple years ago and recorded in my house, you know, at my desk.
Now, Mr. Phil.
Yes.
You do music as well.
Sort of, not really. I mean, my brother has a band that I play drums for, and I'm actually a pretty terrible drummer, but they need a drummer, and, you know,
hey,
like
so
to
is Ringo
play.
Starr. Didn't stop him. So why didn't you send us any of your brother's band's music?
Any what?
Why didn't you send us any of your music? Or your brother's band's music?
We don't really have any. We have some live recordings, but nothing that sounds very good. I just didn't send that.
Now, Ed.
Yes,
Mr. And like I said, guys, if you ever want to jump in, please jump in. Tell me about some of the folks that aren't on the show that are involved in You Ain't No Dancer.
That's a huge list, and I cannot read it from here. But yeah, there's 30. We've got 30 different people. I'm not going to really get into everyone individually because I know that I'm going to forget people and that people will be pissed off, as I would be pissed off to be one of the forgotten as well. But
deal with it.
You can check it out at newreliable.com. You can find the complete list. Kaz did the cover. Kazimir did the cover.
Kazimir Strezipek, not to be confused with Kaz from Underworld, who just won an Emmy.
Oh, well. There we go. So, yeah, he did the cover and a story inside. I'm a pretty big fan of his work. And he was going to be, or we're trying to get him on today, but unfortunately he has to work. And they're under a tight deadline, so he was not able to pull himself away. But, yeah, there's, on top of that, of him, there's about 29 others who are in the book. And you can check it out at newreliable.com. There's a full listing there. And they're all well worth checking out. Otherwise, I would not have put them in the book.
One of the things in there was like a silent thing with like clocks in it.
That was by Katya.
Tell me about her.
You know, I don't. I just know her through email. She emailed me. Her stuff's much more kind of painterly, the right term. I'm not sure. It's a nice piece. It's a 4-page silent piece. It's kind of haunting, really, I guess, and I don't know how to better describe, but she seems quite nice. I talked to her a few times through email.
You got some other swell folks in there.
All swell folks in there. Every single last one.
Except for Jason Turner.
Jason Turner is a great guy.
I'm going to shit talk him anyways.
Oh, don't do that.
No, Jason is awesome, actually. True Loves is pretty great. And True Loves 2, when's that coming out?
True Love. I wish Jason was on the phone so I could harass him about this publicly. It's coming out. He plans to be done by the end of 2008. So the end of this year, next few months. And so it will probably come out next summer. So it's a continuation from True Loves 1. We are... And I'll possibly actually have wider distribution. I'm kind of dealing with a book publisher right now that there may be some good things coming from.
You're kind of a big deal then.
I'm not that big a deal, but I'm working on it. So 2009 at some point, maybe summer. We were kind of talking about it the other day, and we're going to definitely set it around one of the bigger, smaller press conventions so that we can launch it at the convention. And
you know. Like Mocha or something?
Yeah, Mocha is the one we brought up because neither, Jason may have been. I've never been to New York, and I've been looking
it's
for
wonderful.
An excuse to go to New York.
It's wonderful.
It's a lot of fun.
I spent 3 days pickled.
Pickled.
Pickled. I got severely drunk and had fun. Nothing like going to the bar where Dylan Thomas drank himself to death and having some Irish whiskey.
Yes.
It's good times. Who are some of the other folks that will have stuff at the art show?
Actually, Katya will have stuff. Phil has stuff. Phil McAndrew, Jason Turner, Jordan Bashan, Colleen McIsaac, Graham Kaller. I hope I said that last name right. Kaler. Hey, Phil, you know him, don't you?
Phil?
No.
Yep.
Do you know Graham Kaller?
Yeah, I've met him a few times. He's a swell guy.
Yeah, I've met him too, and I can say also swell. But how'd you say his last name? Do you know off the top of your head?
I think it's Kaller, but I'm really not certain how to pronounce it.
Go ahead.
I know he's a fan of this show, and I'm sure he'll be listening to this, but I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, Graham.
I'm sure he'll love the whole long
discussion.
He
won't be a fan anymore. I'm sorry, buddy.
Dalton Webb is sending me some stuff.
Jason Turner.
I'm trying to look at Jason Turner. I thought I said him. And I'm going through the list.
Kim Hong, she can have stuff there?
Kim, I was talking to her the other night, and she was trying to send me some stuff. I don't know if that's going to be here on time.
Steve Rolston?
Rolston is not. He wants to keep the originals. He may be getting some prints for the show, but I hope he's getting the prints. But yeah, I think that's
so he will be in attendance, though, I'm presuming.
He will. I hope so. He'll be there. I'll lure him out with some beers. And Kaz, hopefully there should be a couple pieces from him in the show as well.
And Lucky's is at 24th and Main, just off of King Ed on Main Street, and in the back room there. Right now they have a wonderful Peter Thompson art show. Mm-hmm. So once that Peter Thompson show is done, next Friday night, the 26th, Ed's show will be...
That's right. I'll be hanging there like a friggin' madman when that show
hanging
ends.
Hanging art like a madman.
Either way.
Now, Phil... Recently, your own work had a little bit of controversy. Why don't you tell folks about it?
I did an illustration for... Well, it was actually an old illustration I did, and an alternative weekly paper in Boston wanted to put it on the cover. This illustration had a bunch of naked people in it. But they put it on the cover, and I guess a whole bunch of people in Boston were a little upset about it, including the mayor. And
the interesting thing, it's not like porno naked people. They're not pretty.
No,
they are not pretty people.
There's nothing sexual or obscene about it. I mean, unless you consider just nakedness obscene. But it was a pretty tame drawing, but it got some attention, I guess.
So did you get more work through that? Did you see more work coming through your way?
I don't know that I've gotten anything specifically from that. Hopefully they'll bring some more work in.
I'm going to do a quick song break. I got a little Bowie to play, just in response to... my CD player went on sleep in response to Ed's He Ain't No Dancer. Is this even going to work? There we go. Okay, so we'll be right back. I'm going to play the Bowie, and we'll be back with Lucy and Phil. And Jason, where are you? CITR. This is the Inkstead Show, the radio show where we talk about comics. And I think I see Jason coming on. Do we have you there, Jason?
It is me.
You're live on air now.
Yay.
Yay. What's your problem, Jason? Why did you leave us?
Technical issues.
Technical issues.
My phone is a piece of crap. It's a problem.
Damn you, phone. This is Inksets. We're talking about the book You Ain't No Dancer, which is coming out at SPX. Now, how many of you folks will be at SPX? Phil? Lucy? What? Have I got you?
Well, I'm not going to be there.
You're not going to be there? How about you, Phil?
No, I can't be
there. I will be there.
And Jason, are you going to be there?
Sadly, no.
So, y'all can meet Phil and Ed there, but unfortunately, Lucy and Jason will not be there. And neither will I. Sigh.
Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. Now, Lucy, you have a book coming out very soon, don't you?
Yes, I do, in October.
In October. Tell me about your book.
It's called French Milk, and I wrote it as a journal originally during a trip I took with my mother to Paris for about a month, a little longer. And I just kept a daily journal of my drawings and writings and the photographs that I was taking. And when I came home, I threw it into a book. And so now it's getting published by Touchstone Publishing, and it'll be out October 14th.
Nice. And you did a little bit of alterations for the Touchstone edition, from what
I've
heard.
That's right. They have a new cover design, which is very similar to my old covers, but cover design. But different enough that it's noticeable, and there's a lot more pages that I edited out in the original self-published edition that got fixed up and put back in, a few different photos, and I fixed all the spelling mistakes and the bad French translations that I had included, so it's looking a lot better.
Ed has a question.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier. Lucy, how many pages do you think that sometimes you draw in a day? Because I follow your live journal, and there'll be sometimes where you post, you know, about a class exercise, and here's the result, and it'll literally be about 12 pages. And it sounds like you draw it in the same day, and I'm just wondering if that's actually true.
Well, it depends on, you know, what I have on my plate that day. You know, I can go weeks without drawing anything, but usually I try and get stuff done, and with CCS assignments coming in, I have a structured, you know, demand for my work. So, it depends on homework assignments and the requirements, but I usually try and do more than the homework assignment requires, and I'm pretty quick at drawing. So, on average, I try and draw 1 to 5 pages a day. 12 pages sounds like an awful lot, but I may have been really bored in class that day or something. I may have just like been stuck in a, you know, jury duty or something, and then I'll just draw all day and come home with 12 pages.
That's insane.
That's pretty amazing.
Insane in a good way.
Good.
No, I quite enjoy your stuff, and I'm always happy to see more. So it'll be nice when this book comes out, because I never got a chance to read it. So I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you.
Now, Jason.
Yes.
Ed had some questions about the progress You Ain't No Dancer.
No. True Loves. Where are you with True
Loves,
too?
Yeah, I can't even think today.
Where am I with True Loves? At about page 94.
And it goes to 120, right?
That's the goal, yeah.
The goal was to publicly pressure you into completing.
I have actually been managing to pick up the pace a little this month, so after a year of struggling, too.
Now I'm going to throw out some general questions for you folks, and just whoever feels like jumping in. What gave you that love of comics that made you want to do comics? Phil?
Well, when I was a kid, my dad's a newspaper reporter, so we always have newspapers laying all over the house. So I'd always get to the comic page, and I'd just try to draw like all the characters on the comic page. And at some point at a very young age, I was like, I can do this. it seems like a dream job, you know, just like just draw comics every day and someone pays you to do it, but you know, it doesn't really work like that. But I stuck with the habit, I guess.
Lucy?
Well, I always loved reading comics when I was growing up, but I went to school for art originally and was torn because I really wanted to be an artist, but I also really wanted to write. I wanted to be a writer and sort of stumbled upon comics as a combination of the two loves of my life. And then Hope Larson, who's actually been in Yand, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah, she was in the first two.
She was in Yand a while ago.
Yep, the first two.
Sort of discovered me toiling away on my own and guided me along and gave me a lot of great advice. So I have a lot to thank for her, sort of showing me the way in comics.
Jason?
Good question.
You didn't have a chance to think about it while everyone else was answering, Jason?
I was listening to their very interesting replies. But I think my mom always to sit us at the kitchen table with paper and pencils if she was, like, cooking or whatever. And, like, my brother and I, and we were quite happy to just sit there and draw. And at some point, superheroes came into it. They bought me a comic, probably also just to keep us quiet.
And I think it's continued. I need to get you to speak up a little, Jason. You're very quiet there.
Ongoing issue for me. Volume.
How about, what's one comic that really blew you all away? That one book, and why? Jason?
Well, funny enough, I just posted something on my live journal the other night. Last night. About my favorite comics ever. And one that I just reread recently, I guess because of the movie and all the hype, was The Watchmen. And it still holds up for me. It's just crazy, like, how dense and all the stuff that's going on in that.
Do you think it makes as much sense now in a post-Cold War world?
I guess it's sort of... Yeah, I guess I've reread it so much, I'm not even like... Yeah, it's just kind of fuzzy to me. It's a good question.
Lucy?
Well, one of my early favorites was Bob Fingerman's Beg the Question. It's a great graphic novel. It sort of showed me how you can make comics about stories in your lives and how it can be so interesting to people. I love that book.
Somehow I don't think it exactly reflects his real life, though. Unless he has friends that actually really eat monkey brains. Is it monkey brains or some kind of brains, I think, they get from the crappy store downstairs? But I love it. It's a great book. That's fantastic. And Bob Fingerman is really a great cartoonist. More people need to check out. And he has a couple of new books coming out soon, so including a post-apocalyptic one about him and his wife, which sounds awesome. Phil?
This is more of a recent thing, at least... I don't know how old it is really, but it was recently brought to America. Is Vampire Loves? I really, really enjoyed that book a lot. It's probably my favorite right now.
Mr. Jean Safar.
Yeah,
it was a fantastic book from First Second. That's it.
I don't think I've seen anything from them that I have disliked really. I mean, I haven't read everything they published, but yeah.
How much? Like, not to stick on the subject of getting pages, but how many pages do you think that guy can pump out?
I think that he is inhuman. I mean, he can... It seems like... I've read that he has, like, hundreds of books. I mean, we've only seen a handful of them here in North America.
Yeah, he's got over 100 books in France.
Yeah, which is just... He's not that old, though, is he? I mean, he's, like, in his 30s, I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's in his, like, probably mid-30s.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's probably mid to late 30s, yeah. No, I've seen photos, and he doesn't look very old. And yeah. No, it's fantastic. Lucy?
Yeah?
What are some of the interesting exercises you've had while going to the CCS that have really helped you develop your workmanship?
Well, You know, it's been referred to as comics boot camp out there. So they really, you know, put us through our paces. And some of the great stuff I've done is James Kochalka came in and taught a guest lecture class and had us do 100 different characters, so different character designs that all had to be, you know, recognizably different. So we had class time and then the afternoon to work on these designs, and, it's a giant amount of drawing in the end, you know, 100 different people. And but it was such a great assignment because you can really learn how to distinguish features from one another, you know, draw the same character but with a different nose, and that's a different guy. So I really loved that assignment. Jason Lutz gives us a lot of great sort of quick drawing assignments where we have to think on our feet and draw out an emotion or draw out sort of an abstract concept that you don't always immediately know how to convey. And it's great. It's really improved my speed and my flexibility in drawing.
Now, Ed, I realized I asked everyone about their favorite comic and what gave them their love for comic. And why don't you answer that question, too?
Well, I guess I always loved comics growing up, like superhero comics. I think the one that was like the really, if I can trace it back to one pivotal comic that kind of changed how I thought about comics, it would have to be the first issue of Joe Matt's Peep Show, which I bought, I think, when I was 18, thinking that maybe it might be something else. I was just a sketchy 18-year-old in the comic shop finding that at the back. And I bought it. It wasn't what I thought it was, but I thought it was really great. It really kind of changed what I was into in comics. Where I lived in Kelowna, you couldn't normally get that sort of any of the Drawn and Quarterly Fantagraphics books. The one shop up in Rutland near where I lived had an 8-Ball comic, but it was the one with the nudists on the cover. I don't know if you know that one. And they had it on the top shelf in a plastic bag, and it was adults only. So I always thought that 8-Ball was a porno comic. So that was one I didn't read in. So when I got into Peep Show, that would be the pivotal one. And that kind of opened up a whole new world of comics for me. So I really discovered a lot through that. And through that, I ended up going back and I realized that 8-Ball comic wasn't born. And so I actually ended up buying that one that had sat there probably for about 5 or 6 years on that top shelf, which probably tells you why they didn't bring in those sort of the more alternative style comics. And so
unless it has the bug fucker guy in it.
I can't remember specifically. I think it's like issue 8 or something. I could be wrong, but yeah.
It's Needle Dick the bug fucker.
Okay. Well,
sorry for my potty mouth there, folks. Listener discretion be advised after the fact. Yeah. Now, just to let folks know what's coming up in the Ink Studs for the next little while, next week, Pete Bagg will be coming on with Eric Reynolds for about half the show. We're going to be talking first about some of Pete's more recent stuff that he's been doing for, what's the magazine? Can't remember. One of those libertarian rags. And so we'll be talking about that. And then for the second half, we're going to talk about the action suits with Eric and Pete. And the following week, I will be joined by Mark Evanier, and we're going to talk about Jack Kirby, the King of Comics. And the week after that will be Rick Veitch, talk about Army of Love and all sorts of other stuff. Rick's been doing tons of great stuff for years. And the week after that, I'm just like, yadder, yadder, yadder. Tim Lane will be coming on, and then Paul Gravett and a whole bunch of other stuff. Great stuff. Sean Tan's coming to Vancouver next month, so that's going to be exciting. You looking forward to that, Ed?
Sure.
Sure. Any last words from you guys about You Ain't No Dancer?
Buy it.
Phil, Lucy.
I think, you know, from just looking at the list of contributors, I think that, I'm more excited about this book than any of the previous volumes. I'm, certainly as a reader, really looking forward to it.
Lucy?
Oh, it's it looks awesome. There's so many people. I can't wait to read their stories.
Jason,
I wish we all could be at SDX.
I wish
to hang out as a You Ain't No Dancer group.
That would be a big table. You would need a couple of tables.
You might need two tables.
Maybe
15. We would take up an entire wall, which would bankrupt me.
We got about 2 minutes left. One last question. What do you guys love about anthologies, comic anthologies? Ed?
Going back to when I discovered Joe Matt and stuff, anthologies were kind of the way that I discovered other artists. I wish I could remember the name of the anthologies I picked up back then. But I think it's just a great way to get exposed. I think it's a great way for those who don't have books to get in a book that's going out. So, you know, it's good for them to get exposure. Then it's good for the reader to be exposed to other folks. And, you know, hopefully it opens them up to more readers.
So that's actually where I saw Joe Matt stuff first, was in the Drawn and Quarterly anthology.
Mm-hmm. And what do you love about anthologies, Jason?
Yeah, just that sort of thing, finding different people whose stuff you maybe wouldn't see otherwise, and then you know them, and so when they do get booked out, you're like, yes. You say that, you say, yes.
Yeah. Lucy?
Well, I love sort of getting this connection to a lot of other artists. You know, then we can go to comic conventions and see each other and sort of be like in this club, you know. we're both part of this anthology. Yeah, hey.
Word. So. You have your secret handshake?
Exactly, yeah.
Are you working on it, Ed?
Yeah, secret handshake? I'll send an email later on today.
Yeah, get on that.
Is it cherry something?
Phil, what do you
think? As a high school kid, I discovered, I think, about half of the cartoonists that I really enjoy and follow now. I think I first discovered them in anthology books. There's a lot of older anthologies that, like, Top Shelf, I think, put out, and, like, Dark Horse. And, I love finding new artists. And it's cool to go to conventions and see other people that are in books you've been in and, you know. Give him a high five.
Not the secret handshake. Well, thank you so much, all three of you, for coming on and joining us today. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to more wonderful work, and I'll have links up on the Inkstud site to all your collective blogs, because all of you post some pretty nice illustrations, and I enjoy comics, and I hope you do too. Do you enjoy comics, Ed?
Yes.
Yes. Any last words? No.
I'll see you at the Inkstud show, maybe.
You mean the You Ain't No Dancer...
That's what I mean.
...launch show...
What are we on? I don't know.
On September 26th.
September 26th at Lucky's. Starts at 8 o'clock. I don't know if I mentioned that. So show up.
And it'll be good times.
Buy some books.
You can come see me get drunk. Because that doesn't happen
all
often.
Of us get drunk.
There we go. Talk to you all later.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Up next, we got Crimes and Treasons, and I'm going to end the show off with Phil's request. Talk to y'all later.